My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. It is such a pleasure and a privilege, actually, for me to be able to speak this morning because on this Remembrance Sunday, because war is something that is has affected me my whole life, actually. It's something that continues to affect my family. I was born into a situation towards the end of a war where my father was wanted by Islamist militias, and we had to flee our country, and my mum was wanted by the Syrian army because she really stupidly decided to spit in a Syrian commander's face because she thought that was a good resistance thing to do, which is not a clever thing to do. So, you know, actually, another woman who looks like my mum was arrested in their search for her, but she was let go. So all's well that ends well, I guess. I have one story, though, that I won't forget. When my granddad, George — what you might learn this in this sermon is that I have a lot of relatives called George. I'm not the only one. Every other person in my family is called George. Oh, I'm from Lebanon, for those of you that don't know. Good question. And the war I was speaking of is the Lebanese Civil War. But my grandpa George, he was a funny man, very passionate, very loving, a little bit insane. Why are you laughing? They are insane. I've come from insanity. It's great. I love it. He was a really beautiful soul. But in 1989, his children were in the Lebanese army when Syria invaded, and his son Amin was one of the soldiers that happened to be, on patrol that evening during a very, very surprise invasion. And Amin was out towards the east side of Beirut when the Syrian army got there. Missiles were flying everywhere, and the whole city turned into a mess. It was a very, very forceful invasion. And my granddad could not bear the idea of his son being out there in the midst of that while everyone else was hiding in bomb shelters under the buildings. And so my granddad, instead of hiding in a bomb shelter under the building, decided to leave and go and try and find his son in the middle of an international invasion. And so he leaves the bomb shelter, is now running through the streets that kind of along the green line of Beirut, trying to get to his car, missiles flying over his head. Eventually gets into his car and starts driving towards the outpost where he knew his son was. Also, missiles flying, crashing, shrapnel going absolutely everywhere, and this absolute madman, trying to go and find his son. When he gets to the outpost, he does not find his son there. And he looks everywhere, in the middle of this thing, and eventually arrives at the military hospital where my uncle Amin was wounded heavily and found his son kind of in a on death's door. Managed to survive, is now living here with us in political exile, but managed to survive. A real, real horrific situation, and one of many, but I will always find it so precious and love the fact that my granddad could not bear. He could not, his love would not allow him to stay at home, to stay in a bomb shelter, to hide away while the people he loves are out there, potentially in harm's way. Because to love is to surrender yourself, to surrender the self for the sake of others. It is to have yourself be less important, to have your life be less important than of those around you, of those that you love. They become elevated and you become humbled. And that is part of the process of love. And it's wonderful. And so today we remember the memories of so many who have laid down their life for people whom they love in many wars, in many countries all over the world, and also outside of war, those who have laid down their lives, heroes, because of the call to love. But war isn't always good. In fact, I would even dare to say that war is never God's plan, that conflict is never God's best. And on the cross, we see a different kind of laying down one's life. For me, growing up with war stories all around me has made me really hate the idea. I despise it. Growing up to know that, you know, my dad has several wounds scars from bullet wounds on his body. And just knowing that, you know, harms my spirit because I love him. And the amount of people in my family and friends of my family who aren't here today because of war is horrific. The stories I hear are horrific. I have uncles that were taken, kidnapped and never came back. Another story is of my dad, who actually wasn't in the Lebanese army but fought for a militia in the middle of the Lebanese Civil War, and my uncles who fought for the Lebanese army, and guess who they were each fighting? They were fighting each other. And so I've grown up not only in war but also in the midst of a conflict that tears a family right in the middle. And, you know, my uncle, one of my uncles in the Lebanese army, again got shot by one of my dad's mates. And my dad had to kind of go and this was after the wedding, and my dad had to kind of sheepishly go and almost apologize and visit and try and still love across the borders of conflict. War is not good. War is not good. Jesus said, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from the Father I have made known to you." In Jesus, we see a radically different laying down of life. In Jesus, we see that the face of God is not as commander, because he says, it's really wonderful. We don't see the face of commander because he says, "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends." In Jesus, in his self-sacrificial giving of his life, we're no longer seeing God as commander and us as servants. What we're seeing is God as friend, laying down his life out of self-sacrifice. And on the cross, what we have is God who comes in the midst of a war. He comes in the midst of occupation. He comes in the midst of the worst that humanity can offer. And he lays down his life, not in military combat, but in this wonderful act of nonviolent resistance to the cross, where he dies. He follows peace to the extent that it kills him. And that is to love. I've written here, to die, to lay down your life is to love. And the way to life is love. the way to life is love. In order to have life, in order to have life in its fullness, we must love. And the way to love is the death of self. We cannot love without dying to ourselves. We cannot love without reducing ourselves in order to make others higher in our hearts. And so for all victims of war, we know that for so many of them, they were self-sacrifice. It was self-sacrifice. They raised others above them, and they raised causes above them. But in Jesus, we see the end of the need to fight. We see the end of the need for war. And we can't lose that truth in the midst of this remembrance. In another generation above myself, I also had my great-grandfather, who was a member of the French army. And he was in Syria, and he was part of the Armée du Levant, and the Army of the Levant. And he joined the army in the French Mandate of Syria, and then quickly found himself being part of the Vichy France, the Army of Vichy France, which, you know, was not his choice, but it just so happened that that's you know, how, if you don't know what Vichy France is, it's the French that were not on our side. Is that right, Johnny? Excellent. He did history. He knows more than me. And then in 1941, after they were defeated, he ended up coming, joining the Free French Army as well. So he did a stint in both. But none of it was his choice. None of it was his choice. All he knew was that this is a way that my family are going to live. And so his act of love was less out of politics, but more out of an immediate need to have his family eat and survive. And my grandma didn't ever meet him because he died, you know, in the 40s in conflict. So she grew up without a father. And even in that, I mean, for me, that is another space where someone had, in my life, had physically laid down their life in order for others to have life. And Sarah, I don't know if she's here this morning, Kasim, recently said something beautiful in our faith, and you know, Jesus said it, you know, in our faith, our lives are like seeds. And when a seed gets buried in the ground, our God is a God who brings life from it. And what gives me hope in the midst of remembering the victims of war, in the midst of remembering that death is a reality for us in our lives, that people we love die, and that people lay down their lives, we know that in this faith, with our God, it is always the case. It is always the case that death leads to life, and it's not the other way around. It is always the case that wherever a seed goes into a ground, life comes out of it. And that works on two levels. On one level, we're looking at a resurrection that is coming. But also, it just imbues our whole, you know, it is all over our entire spiritual journey. That there is always, always life after death. And he turns death on its head. And so a lot of my family stories are filled with death. But at the same time, we exist in this weird kind of space where we're also a family that's so full of life. And for many of us, I know for me, I'm only alive, I'm only here because some made sacrifices that meant that I could be. And we know that we're only here because men and women in many wars, in world wars, made sacrifices that we could be here. And so many have laid down their lives that we be free this morning. But no one more so than the Christ that we call Jesus, than Jesus Christ, who laid down his life to give us the ultimate freedom from death. He died to give us life. on so many levels. And so this morning, we not only remember the victims of war, but we remember the great victim of war, Jesus. He was victim. And our God manifested himself as wounded. Our God allowed himself to be wounded because that is how you love. You cannot love without a wound. And so for us this morning, as we reflect on the people that we love this morning, is it not true that we are also so wounded by that love? Is it not also true that when those people are taken away or when they are distant, that is the most hurting place that we can be? But you cannot love without being wounded. I can see by some faces that there are people here who have been so wounded by love. And it is good, because love is good. And so for me, and for a lot of my family and my folks, often we laugh and cry at the same time. Because that's kind of part of the nature of love. And in Christ Jesus, we look forward to a day when every tear will be wiped away from our eyes. When love conquers all. Let's bow our heads for a second. Lord God, we know in our hearts that loving is so hard and requires us to lay down our lives. And we look to your cross as the ultimate act of self-sacrifice, where you laid down your life to show us the love of God. And we remember the cross this morning. And we remember that on the cross, you envisioned every suffering and every pain from anyone who has laid down their life in war. That on the cross, you experience every war in every part of eternity. That on the cross, you experienced our pain in our daily lives. That on the cross, you experienced our grief. That on the cross, you experienced the sin of violence. And we remember that you overcame. We remember that you had resurrection. That you have showed us, Jesus, in your birth, life, death, and resurrection, that in death and in suffering there is life. And this morning, God, we invite your Holy Spirit to come and to breathe this truth into our hearts. And God, I this morning reconfirm myself onto this pattern of your cross, onto death and resurrection. And I put my faith in your cross. And I want to challenge everyone else in this room this morning to put your faith in his cross, which is the end of war. That psalm was not talking about God violently bringing an end to war. That psalm is always, as every other part of the Bible, is always pointing at Jesus, who takes away violence by overcoming it. We put our faith in your cross this morning. And we look to the day where this victory is manifest and the world is at peace in full relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.